Please remain standing if you would as we pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, how good it is to be in the sanctuary of the Lord. How good it is to be among the people of God. How good it is to be, oh Lord, where your presence dwells. I pray now that you would fill me with your Spirit and all those that are here, those, Lord, who may be seeking, those who may not believe in the Lord Jesus, those who have dedicated their lives to him. Would you, Lord, speak to all of us, I pray. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Praise God that in his wisdom and in his plan, he raised up what we now clearly call the office of deacon. Because God knew that for the work of the church, for the work of equipping the people of God, for the work of reaching and loving the lost and the poor, there must be deacons. There must be, if I were to give you a quick and brief, but I think packed definition of a deacon, a field leader who is called to love. From the very beginning, as the church was just finding her identity, just discovering her mission, just understanding who she was, there were those raised up who were to be field leaders, those who would carry the ministry of the gospel, if you will, out to the fields or out upon the field. They would be out among the people, yes, of the church, and yes, of the greater community. They would be field leaders who could be trusted with the apostolic message. They'd be field leaders who had already shown their adherence and allegiance and love for the Church of Jesus Christ. They'd be field leaders who could be sent out with a commission and a commitment to learn to love and to minister the all-surpassing love of Jesus Christ. What's a deacon? Many biblical answers could be given. But certainly what a deacon is a field leader called to love the people of God and the people of this world. Dawn, how fit you are for that work. I love the gospel text. Such a beautiful text from Luke about our call to be awakened and to stay awake. Don, I don't have the privilege of knowing you nearly as well as many who are gathered here today, but there's one thing I've already learned about you, and that is that you are an awakened Christian. You are wide awake to the things of the kingdom of God, to the things of the Bible. You're wide awake to those that as a deacon is called to be, to love those who may not always be noticed or seen. You indeed have a heart to search those out that many might, figuratively speaking or perhaps literally speaking, walk by. You were awakened by the power of the Holy Spirit and love of Jesus early on in your life. And you've been true and have had an allegiance to the life of being awakened, of being clear, of being called to the work of God for years prior to this day. Which is why this day is so fitting. So would you, from this day forward, with perhaps a new energy, a new commissioning, a new strength, would you pray for awakening? Pray for an awakening in an already robust church here at Redeemer. Pray for an awakening in the cities, as I know you have prior. Pray for awakening in the greater Midwest in which we serve as a diocesan movement. Would you pray for my greater awakening as I serve this work? Would you pray for the awakening of the next generation, the massive and almost overwhelming proliferation of children in this parish that God has given? Would you pray for the awakening of that next generation? That even as you were given the gift of being awakened to the love of Jesus early, and what a gift that is. If any of you came to Christ later in your life, you know What a gift it is to come early to the love of God. Would you pray for that? Would you work toward that? So in sum, what I want to say, and I'm not done saying things yet, but in sum, what I want to say to you, dear sister, on this day is work and pray for the very awakening that you have received in Jesus for others. Be a field leader called to love. We see in this beautiful parable an immediate call to action. I think I'm working out of a little bit different translation than you have there in your order of service, but the gist is certainly the same. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. It's an awakening, a call to action. It's a rousing call. Be like those who are waiting for the master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. That open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. So certainly one lesson derived from this line here alone is the call to love the master. What a love for master these servants show. Waiting at the door for him to arrive. This is not an obligation to wait. This is not an onerous burden to wait. For when you love the master as these servants love the master, when you love Jesus as those of us who have met him and submitted to him our lives, when you love him like we love him, and when you're awakened to that love, you gladly wait at the door for his footstep that you may open it. Amen. So first, as we look at this passage, comes the call to love the master. More important than anything that's happened in your ministry prior to this day and that will happen in your ministry after this day is to love the master. I know it perhaps should go unspoken, but with the reality of our sinful nature and the pressures of ministry and the perils of life, it's oft and easily forgotten. A sign of falling asleep is a sign of no longer loving the master. My brother-in-law, who was pastoral musician at Church of Resurrection, where I served for many years, he served in that capacity, a gifted and uncommonly gifted musician and intellect, his name was John Fawcett. Went to be with the Lord some 9 years ago, dying young of a cancerous brain tumor. It was a 5-year battle, as I know many of you have watched and been a part of with your own loved ones. And near the end, in the last weeks of that 5-year sojourn to the Valley of Death, John looked at my wife Catherine, his sister, and me, and he said, "I think I'm beginning to understand. It's about learning to love. That's what it's about. Following Jesus is about learning to love. This suffering of several years, and all the years prior to that, they were all about learning to love. And especially to love the master. Blessed are those servants, we read then, whom the master finds awake when he comes. There is in the loving of the master and the loving of Jesus a sacrificing for Jesus. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake. I don't think we have to plumb this image too deeply. When you're tired, you want to sleep, right? I travel quite a bit internationally, which means that jet lag is a constant companion. And I'm telling you, there are a few things more challenging than to be profoundly jet lagged, to be in a wonderful worship service, and yet to feel like everything in you is demanding that your body shut down and sleep. I mean, literally, you're begging yourself. You're doing all the little tricks you can think of. You're hurting yourself as much as you can, right? You're pinching, you're stretching, you're just trying to stay awake. But my, when you have jet lag, everything in you and your body's saying, shut down, shut down, shut down. Not unlike the power of the sinful nature. Where the sinful nature can have a power over us. It does not have more power than the redeemed reality of Jesus in us. It does not have more power than the new creation that God has given us in Christ. But it can have a power all the same. And it's a power to shut down. It's a power, if you will, to fall asleep. It takes sacrifice to stay awake for Jesus. It does cost us. We don't earn the love of Jesus, but we have a cost to pay in the life of prayer, where we learn the discipline of staying awake, sometimes literally. In the life of service, where more often than not, for those of us called to service, and this is true of every Christian called to serve, in hundreds of creative capacities, you will always be more hidden than noticed. And you may think this is so unfair until you realize that's the plan of God, that you're more hidden than noticed, that you're not getting the accolades that you perhaps even deserve. Don't get upset with God about it or think it's somebody else's fault. He's not that way. He doesn't want you to receive all those accolades, that indeed you may hunger for his accolade. You may hunger for his word. So often the sacrifice of the Christian who stays awake is the sacrifice of learning how to pray. It's the sacrifice of learning how to remain hidden in the work of the Lord. It is easy to say, to God be the credit. But my, is it arduous to live. I have a hero in this regard. It's helpful to have people that you can look to who have lived lives of sacrifice and hiddenness. And I hesitate to say, because I fear it's going to sound contrived, but as I wrote this and prayed into this text, I have to say that for me, one of my great heroes of hiddenness is my wife, Catherine. We celebrate 25 years of marriage this October, so I've had 25 years, the very front row seat. And I've watched my wife, as a Christian, live a life of profound service, of prayer, of constant sacrifice in the work that God's called her to do. I'd like to be more like that. I'd like you to be more like that. Dawn, as you come into this new season of ministry, may you be willing to sacrifice for the master whom you love so deeply. Indeed, your life has been one of consistent sacrifice from the beautiful rhythms of your testimony. May that only continue. May you be even empowered anew and afresh to serve Jesus, to sacrifice. Finally, we see that amidst the sacrifice comes this most remarkable moment in the story, which is the story about the Lord. Truly I say to you, the master will dress himself for service. Now, we would assume, if we're tracking with the story, that he would dress himself for dinner. Right? He would dress himself for the banquet. But no, this master dresses himself for service. He has the others recline at table, which is to say, an ancient Near Eastern custom to be seated in the place of honor. And he will come and serve them. Peter says, don't wash my feet. I remember Caesarea Philippi. I remember that you are Lord. I've come to actually begin to understand just something of who you are. He says the night before Jesus goes to the cross, please don't wash my feet. I don't think I can handle that. But this is a master who refuses the confused and seeming humility of a servant who would say, "Don't wash my feet." He refuses it because that is his very purpose in coming. The cross is the great washing of humanity's sinful feet and hearts. And it is to us, as the people of God, it is to us called for the diaconate to receive the washing of our feet. So, Don, receive the washing of your feet by our Lord Jesus. Receive him who you've been waiting for and sacrificing for, that when he arrives, dresses as a servant and humbles you by washing your feet. Why is it so hard to receive the love of others and the love of Jesus? I don't know for sure. I just know it's very hard. I'm praying for you as and for a gift that I received last summer on sabbatical. I was sitting on a beach resting and with my family, and all of a sudden, in a way that I can only describe as concrete, although there was nothing concrete around me, it was a sensation that I had, even though it was just me sitting there on the beach. It was as if the Father in the ministry of Jesus came up behind me as I just sat there looking at the ocean. And I felt almost as if he had wrapped his arms around me. And when that happened, there was nothing I could do, I guess imaginatively, but receive. And how it accords with the washing of the feet of the disciples, how it accords with the cross of Jesus Christ, how it accords with this parable, how it accords with the work of the deacon. Oh yes, stay awake. Oh yes, serve. Oh yes, love your master. But how fitting to conclude and receive his service as you so lovingly, tenderly, gently, honestly, in a persevering way, serve others. And ordination is for the individual, but oh, brothers and sisters, that ordination is for the church of Jesus Christ. As Dawn is ordained to the office of deacon, so you, Redeemer, receive whatever gift God is pouring out on Redeemer today. You, Christian, receive whatever gift God is pouring out on you. As Dawn is called, so are you. As Dawn is being stretched into a new work, so, Redeemer, are you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.